and Holy Word. For a few moments tonight, if you would turn with me to verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Dear congregation, on the day of resurrection, Mary was found weeping uncontrollably. There in the presence of her Lord in the garden. And as we know, to begin with, she did not recognize him. We're told that she supposed him to be the gardener. And that's how she thought until the Lord made himself known. He called her by name, Mary. We read in John 20, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And as we consider there the scene on the first day of the week, he had come for her. And now being aware of who the one was before her, her heart was filled with comfort and thanksgiving. And precious are the times when we are aware that he has come. We're in our lives and this evening hour, let us look out for Jesus. And it is my prayer that you might be aware of him this night and again as you journey on towards heaven. Precious are the times when we can say with the psalmist in verse 151, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Well, tonight, as we consider these words, I'd like us to think of this theme. He has come. He has come. Well, let's come directly now to verse 151. First of all, the distance. Secondly, the nearness. And then thirdly, the word. The distance, the nearness, the word. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, as we consider the Lord, he is near to us in a relationship. We address him, dear brothers and sisters, as our Father. He's our God. Then consider further, he is near, for we are in union. There is that blessed union and communion with him. We're in a relationship and we're in union. We have the promises, as we will consider later tonight. However, there are times when we do not sense that the Lord is near. Now in verse 151, the Lord makes plain that he, rather the psalmist makes plain, that he is aware of the Lord. Thou art near, O Lord. He is aware of him, and he is conscious that his prayers are heard. In the depths he had cried out to the Lord, and from the bottom of the heart he had poured out his soul. Just notice verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. He had earnestly prayed. Yes, sorrow had filled his heart, but he had found God in prayer. He sensed the Lord's nearness. Thou art near, O Lord. And now, it did not matter to him the time of the day, and it was very early, still in the night, and he makes his prayer, verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. You see, his soul had been revived, and he was aware of the Lord. Thou art near. His enemies had come near, but he was aware that the Lord was so much nearer to him. However, it was not always his cry, and it was not always what he sensed as he walked through the veil of affliction. And nor is it ours. Not always do we say, Thou art near, O Lord. Yes, we're aware of that relationship and that union will never be broken, but not always do we sense the nearness of the Lord. And at such a time, it can be so hard. We long to say, Thou art near, O Lord, but we don't feel it. There are times when we begin to pray, but we don't seem to find God in prayer. There seems to be this distance. Now, sometimes it may be because of some particular sin or slothfulness. You remember those words in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And here's the believer in response. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? And what does the Lord think? No time for me? I loved you. I came into the world for you. I gave myself for you. You have salvation. I care for you. I support you in such a tender way. I bring you near, but no time for me. No time. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 6, we read on, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, and he gave me no answer. There's the believer, or the church as the whole, seeking Christ, but they don't find him. They've been slothful. He's withdrawn a little, not totally. That is never the case, but just a little. However, there are other occasions, not because of some sin or slothfulness, when we just do not sense him and we feel there's a distance. We try to pray, but we don't seem to find him in prayer. We long to, but we don't seem to find him. And the cause may be some trial or burden on the mind. It may be our enemies are near, as we note in verse 150, and we feel like the children of Israel by the Red Sea, so fearful. Where's the Lord? And we have to be reminded, like Moses reminded the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But till then, where is the salvation of the Lord? Where is the Lord I so love? It may be some trial has weighed so heavy upon the heart or the mind. And we've been so distracted in our thoughts. We seek to pray, but the mind keeps going back to that burden that weighs heavy upon us. It may be something else that so affects the body or the mind. In such a case, you wonder, where is the Lord I love? Oh, where is Emmanuel? Now, the Lord is there. But at times we do not feel his nearness. We feel the distance. We can't say with the psalmist, thou art near, O Lord. Yes, I know that thou art in a relationship with me. I know I am in union with Christ, but where art thou at this time in my life? As a boy, I used to go shopping with my mum and dad at Sainsbury's near Southampton Saturday mornings. And one particular morning, as my mum was shopping, I stopped to look at some toys in the aisle. Some particular toys, and there was Lego there as well. My mum said to me, I'm just going over to pick up something that I need. You stay here. Well, I didn't really listen. I carried on looking at the toys. But then suddenly I put one down and looked up and thought, where's mum? And I panicked and became alarmed. I'd forgotten what she had told me. She was just going to go over there to pick something up. There are times when we are alarmed. The Lord is there, but we become alarmed. Where is my beloved? We feel the distance and we cry with Job in Job 23, verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job was in difficulty. His friends mocked him. He longed to appear before the Lord and to sense it. There's times when we cry, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I wonder, when did you last feel like that? Perhaps it's this evening hour. You've had a difficult day and you're struggling and you say, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job went on to say in Job 23, verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. It's not easy at such times, is it? We long to sense his nearness, but we don't feel it, and how it can affect us. We miss him. You remember Mary again? She's sobbing uncontrollably, even though Jesus was there in the garden. He was right before her, but she was sobbing uncontrollably. She thought him to just be the gardener. She wept with a heavy heart. She was sobbing. You know, when you cry so much, it has an effect on you. You become weary and you can become more exhausted. Well, Mary was sobbing uncontrollably. It physically affected her. At such times we so struggle to find the Lord. Yes, we believe the promise, Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We believe that promise, don't we? How many of us memorized those words in Sunday school years ago? Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. We believe that. With all our heart, we believe the truth. God's word will not fail. But where is the Lord? We long to find God, first of all, when we seek. And then the answer, but our minds prevent it. We seek, but we don't seem to sense him. He's there, but where is he? On board ship, the sailors will look to their captain at the helm, who's leading them upon the seas. However, when the fog comes down, they can't see him. And when the fog of affliction comes over the eye of faith, we say, where is my beloved captain? But let me tell you and comfort you, he's still at the helm. But when the fog of affliction comes, we begin to say, where is he? We don't say, thou art near. No, we look for him, but we don't seem to find him. There are times when the sun is shining brightly, but then the clouds gather and we don't see the sun. However, the clouds break and then the sun appears. The sun was always there, but we didn't see the sun. But oh, he comes. Oh, how the Lord comes. The warmth of the sun is felt on the face again. Oh, we feel the warmth of the Son of God again. Spiritually, there are times when we do not feel the warmth, but then the darkness seems to lift, and we're sensing again the Lord is near. Thou art near. And precious are the times when we sense again that he is there before us. And that leads us to our second point tonight, the nearness, the nearness. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, as we note in verse 150, the psalmist's enemies have pursued him. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. They have no respect for God's law. They do not love the Lord, and they do not love me, being the neighbour. They have no concern for my soul, and they've come near. They pursued me. They seek my hurt. They have mischief in their minds, and they seek to do me harm, and they come near to me. But here is now the psalmist's comfort, that God is even nearer. Thou art near, O Lord. Yes, my enemies have come, but thou hast come nearer, and thou art between them and me. Sometimes our enemies come near, and we're aware of them. Remember Goliath, how he threatened the children of Israel, and then how he came out against David. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 41, we read, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. He came near. There he was then. But David's confidence was this, an assurance that God was nearer than this giant Goliath. And he sensed it. Verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And David there makes abundantly clear before Goliath that he was aware that God was with him. God had come near to him. In the name of the Lord, he had gone and God was there. God would help him. "Thou art near, O Lord. Though our enemies come, God is near, and precious is the time when we sense that God is there. God is our refuge and strength. He's come to me. He's that refuge. He's that strength." The Lord makes himself known, as he did to David. The fog clears and the Spirit works and applies the word, and we're found saying, "Thou art near, O Lord." How he loves you and how he loves me. He will make himself known. You may be saying in your hearts tonight, "But I don't sense him tonight as I want to." But he loves you so much. He will come near to you. He will make himself known to you. You remember again Mary, she was weeping in the garden. Sorrow had so filled her heart. But the consolation of Israel had come near. What a wonderful day. He had risen from the grave and he had come near to comfort her, to console her. And he made himself known. Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." How he loved Mary. He could but make himself known. And it's the same for you. He so loves you. He so favours you. He has such an eye of mercy. So he will come. He will make himself known. He'll call you by name. Now he comes near to a local church or the church as a whole to make himself known. For example, in Hebrews 2 verse 12 we read, these are the words of Christ, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." He comes in the midst and he leads the song. He makes himself known. And we're aware of the Lord in that so special way because he so loves us. He will never forsake. He deals with the church, but he also deals with the individual. As he did on the day of resurrection, he dealt with Mary. He so loved Mary. Later in the day, he drew near to those two on the road to Emmaus, those precious words. So comforting, aren't they? Jesus himself drew near. He will. He'll draw near in a wonderful way. And he'll make himself known to you. It may be a while, like it was on the road to Emmaus. It was a long walk, first of all. But their hearts were beginning to warm. And later in the home, he made himself known. He did, because he so loved them. And he so loves you. You may feel, "I don't find him at the moment." But he loves you. So he will come. He will make himself known. You'll feel the warmth of the Son of God on your soul, as you feel the warmth of the sun when it breaks through the clouds. He calls out to you. Remember, he called out to Mary. Mary, he knows you by name. You're upon his heart at this moment. He ever makes intercession for you. He knows you. He delights to make himself known to you. In time, he reveals himself. He calls out. Blessed are the time when we're aware of the voice of the beloved and that he has come. And we say with the psalmist, "Thou art near, O Lord." O Lord, thou art near. I feel thy presence in that spiritual way. He comes on the sad days at times, where we're battling through a trial. Sometimes on the Lord's days, we may be so sad, like it was for Mary, and like it was for those two on the road to Emmaus, and those disciples who met for fear the Jews. He comes. He knows your sorrows. He knows the disappointments. He knows what's affecting you. He comes near, and he makes himself known on the Lord's days. How often the Lord has come near before a battle commences. You remember Joshua? One appeared before Joshua. We read in Joshua 5 verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The Lord had come. A pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord in the form of a man, not the nature, but the form of a man. And the Lord was there. And Joshua was aware. What did we read there? Joshua did so. What is that? He took off his shirt. He was aware that he was on holy ground because the Holy One had come. He wondered who it was to begin with. Was it one that had come to oppose him and the people, or to stand with him and the people? It was the Lord, the captain. And the Lord comes when there is a battle to face. And often the Lord has made himself known. How often the people of God have sung on a difficult day, God is our refuge, having been aware of the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua, he's aware of the Lord now, and he was in awe. Oh, to be in awe of God, to be in awe of the Lord, that the Holy One has come. Thou art near, O Lord. And you just think of that. He's so holy, and who are we? Yet he comes near. What grace. What grace that the Holy One comes near to me when I face the battle. In the storm, so often the Lord has appeared in that spiritual way, and his followers have become aware. Remember that occasion recorded for us in Matthew 14? There was a storm. And we're told in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It's me. Those disciples, they saw one coming. Who was it? The Lord speaks, Be of good cheer. It is I. It's me. And the Lord speaks to us. He's able to come. The seas of affliction are no problem to him. He's able to walk to us spiritually. He comes to us through the word. And he makes himself known. It is I. Be not afraid. It's me. Are you hearing Jesus speaking to you? It is I. It's me, your saviour. Your friend, I've come. It's Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. It's me, and I've come especially for you. He loved those disciples so much. He came for them in the storm, and he loves you so much. He won't stay away, and he'll make himself known. And we'll be able to say, Thou art near. O Lord, it is I. Be not afraid. Oh, listen to Jesus tonight. It is I. Be not afraid. We do get fearful. We know those words, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that's our vow, but fears come. The Lord knows our hearts. And often he comes and makes himself known. It's me. And our hearts begin to fill with comfort. And there is the warming of the soul. Remember those words in Ephesians 5, verse 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. There is that nourishing, that leading, that bringing up, and then there is that cherishing, that warming. And that's what the Lord does. He's the teacher. He leads us, and he teaches us in the school of grace, in the veil of adversity, and he comes to warm our souls, to cherish. And there's nothing like the warming of Christ. You remember on the road to Emmaus again, their hearts had burned within them. He warms the soul. And when you think of a hen warming the chicks are near to the hen. They're under the wings. Dear child of God, you're under the wings of the Lord. And there he will warm your soul. And so he will make himself known to you. He warms the soul, and we're aware of him after a while. And we say with the psalmist, thou art near, O Lord, I feel thee in a spiritual way through the word. Thou hast done my soul good. Thou hast come, as it were, to embrace me, as we see in the Song of Solomon, to warm my soul. And I found thee now in prayer. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Sometimes we don't seem to find him in a certain prayer, but it comes, doesn't it? Because he is so gracious, and he has access to the soul. He will warm the soul, and the word will be applied. He is nigh. Let me just pause. When you don't sense him, remember, he is nigh. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Listen to Spurgeon. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, not only near by his omnipresence, but to sympathize and favor. He does not leave praying men and women who confess his name to battle with the world alone, but he is ever at their side. This favour is not for a few of those who invoke him, but for each one of the godly company. For each one, dear child of God, that promises for you, he is nigh unto all them that call upon him. He is nigh, and there will be times when he makes himself known, and you in response will say, thou art near. You'll hear his voice. It is I. And you'll respond, I know it's you, Lord. I know that thou hast come. At such times, one may be helped to pray a little more earnestly. Just notice 147 of this psalm. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. I was up earlier, says the psalmist. I'm engaging because I found thee. Suddenly I found thee. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. I found thee. Oh, for a little more reviving. Bring me nearer. Remember those words in the Song of Solomon 3, verse 4. After a time of not sensing the Lord, I held him and would not let him go. I held him and would not let him go. I'm holding him now. I'm aware of thee, O blessed Lord. Thou art near, O Lord. and now the soul reposes upon him. One of old wrote, there is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Saviour meet, near to the heart of God. And precious are those times when we're aware that we're near to the heart of God, and Jesus is there. He's made himself known, and I'm holding him, and I'm not going to let him go tonight. You know, when someone's been away, maybe a family member on business, or they've been in another country, or it's a friend, and you haven't seen them for a while. When you meet, you embrace. Are you embracing Jesus? If you don't feel like you're embracing Jesus at this moment, let me tell you, he make himself known. And you will, at some time, find again the preciousness of being near to Jesus in your mind. And you'll be able to say, thou art near, O Lord. Oh, to embrace him more. What comfort it is when we're aware of Jesus. In Psalm 23 verse 4 we read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou art with me. There's the psalmist aware of the shepherd. The shepherd's there. Thou art with me. He's with us, but there the psalmist is aware of him. For thou art with me. Thou art standing at my side. Thou art holding my hand. O Lord, keep holding it. As I walk on, hold my hand. The little child that's fearful values being next to their parent and holding their hand. Hold thou my hand as I walk on through the veil. Thou art with me. How blessed we are. How wonderful is the gospel, isn't it? How wonderful is our Saviour that he came into this world, that he met the condition of life. He kept the law perfectly, and then he suffered the penalty for the breach of the law in my place, that I might know redemption, that I might know his nearness. How blessed we are. And we have the prospect of further times of being aware of him here upon earth, and then forever with him. Wherever, say, every moment of heaven, just think of this, every moment we'll be considering, Jesus is there before me. I feel his warmth so much throughout all eternity. Oh, for a little more here upon earth. Thou art near. Well, thirdly and finally tonight, the word, the word. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The psalmist at this time was reminded of the truth of the word and that the promises stood. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, his word can never be broken, and his promise will never fail. His enemies, that is, David's enemies, had come near, as we see in verse 150. They scorned him. They sought his harm. And they come near to us. They laugh at us, and they say, where is now their God? Psalm 115, verse 2. We know where he is. He's on the throne in heaven, and he comes to us. We know the promises are fulfilled. And you know, when we're aware of the Lord, often we are comforted by the promises that they are yea, and that the Lord keeps his word. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Thou hast not broken thy word. He's with me there to comfort me and support me. He's kept his word. Let me just open this up in closing. Psalm 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There's the promise. And when the Lord shows himself, we're aware that he's kept his word. He's with me in this river of affliction. He's with me in this fire of adversity. It's true. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Thou hast not forsaken me. Thou hast kept thy word. Thou hast made thyself known. And as you think of that, the Lord will keep his word. So he's going to make himself known. Think also of Isaiah 41 verse 10. Here's another verse full of promises. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And what do we say? It's true, Lord. Thou art near, thou'st come near to me. Thou'st reminded me that thou art with me. Thou'st reminded me that thou art my God. Thou strengthened me. Thou hast helped me. Thou art holding me up by the right hand of my righteousness. Thou hast kept thy word. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Thou didst promise those things, and thou hast made thyself known to me, and I know that thou art true, and thy word never fails. Considering closing how the Lord makes himself known often through the word. And we say with the bride in the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 2 verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. It's the voice of my beloved. I hear his voice. I found him in prayer. And I'm hearing his voice. Thou art here, Lord. And you know, that's often the way, isn't it? We're aware of the Lord when we're in the word or under the preaching of the word. Thou art near. The Lord speaks to us and the Spirit applies the word. Oh, it's the voice of my Lord. I'm listening to thee, Lord. I know that thou art there and I hear thy voice. Listen to Matthew Henry. It can be the voice of none other. For none besides can speak to the heart and make that burn. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the hill mountains, skipping upon the hills. He comes leaping because he so loves you and he takes delight to make himself known to you and speak to you. He comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Those mountains and hills of difficulty are no problem for him. Your present trial is no problem for him. He will come, and he takes delight to make himself known, and you will hear his voice. You'll be in the word one day, and you'll be aware of Jesus. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. How the heart has been warmed often when we read the word and we're conscious of none other than the Lord himself. Sometimes there is the distance, but then we feel his nearness. The Lord has used his word and we're looking to him. The fog of affliction is lifted a little and we're sitting looking unto Jesus. And we're delighting in him. And we just seem to find him in prayer. May it be so. This evening hour. Amen. We turn to our final praise. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3. And then verses 7 to 9. And the tune is Dunslap Creek. Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3. And then verses 7 through to verse 9. These words here. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to him. We see here the psalmist, he's waiting. But then the wait was over. And there are times when we're waiting. But let me assure you, as you sing these words, the wait will be over. Jesus was waiting, as we see in this psalm, but the wait was over, and he was aware again of the gracious, loving presence of the Lord. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, and then verses 7 to 9, to the tune Dunslap Creek.
I waited for the Lord, my
abundantly bless you this evening hour and in coming days. We look forward to seeing each other's faces again. Just a reminder, the services will be at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and you'll be able to see these services through this channel here. May the Lord bless you tonight, and may we know a little of him tonight and in these days. Be assured of my love and prayers for you all. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee that thou art so kind to us, and thou dost not leave it long. We thank thee for the shepherd who makes his way to us through the word, and through his spirit the word is applied. We thank thee that again we know the returning warmth of the sun. We thank thee for his presence. We thank thee that thou art a God who comes near. And make thyself known to us. Come again, O Lord, we pray. Come often through thy word. Come often as we gather, and also as we gather around as the family or individual each day. Make thyself known to us. And in these days, O Lord, make thyself known to every faithful congregation in this land and in the church as a whole. Come, O Lord, may we be aware of Emmanuel in the midst of us. Help us to pray tonight. Mm-hmm. Be with us, O Lord, those who particularly need our prayers at this time. We would remember them in the fellowship here and other fellowships near and far. We remember them, O Lord. We love thee. We thank thee. We thank thee, precious Saviour, that thou didst come to Bethlehem, that thou didst live here upon earth for us. And we thank thee for thy presence, for thy smiles. And we thank thee that heaven really is in our way. O Lord, we look forward to seeing thee. Make us more holy. Make us more like thee, Lord Jesus. And may we know more joy in thy presence. Hear us, O Lord. Forgive us our sins. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen.